www.attableek.com, the Reviver of Iman.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير. وسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا تقمير. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أو من كان ميتا فأحييناه وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس كمن مثله في الظلمات ليس بخارج منها كذلك زين للكافرين ما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, mothers and sisters, the Quran is the only book that a person appreciates its beauty and is enticed towards its beauty even if he doesn't understand the message. If anybody is speaking a foreign language, you're anxious to ask the person, translate. Get to the point. I don't know what you're saying. Translate. But the Quran is the only language without understanding you can still listen to it. Probably for the majority of us, tragically, we did not understand the passage that was recited. But it was no less melodious. It was no less stimulating. It was awesome. It was profound. And when a person understands it, it just enhances its beauty to another level. So I'm going to give a brief synopsis of what was recited and progress from there. Allah speaks about, and the verse that was recited is known as the verse of Noor. Allah has likened guidance to light and deviation to darkness. Allah has likened the guided to be the sighted and the misguided to be visually impaired. In different analogies and similes of the Quran. And the truth be told, you look at prominent celebrities, famous or infamous, however you choose to refer to them, they reach the pinnacle of glory, but there is a vacuum in their life. The common thread in all celebrities, prominent individuals, I had it going for me, I had the money, I had the fame, I had life, I had woman, I had wealth, I had prominence. I was lost, I was depressed, I was restless, I was uneasy. Constantly, read any journal, read any magazine, read any article, and ironically, many of them at the pinnacle of the glory of their career after suicide. How do you reconcile logically a life of glory which the world glamorizes and idolizes, and here this person drops his life? It comes down to the very same verses that were recited, that when the heart is void of this light, then there's nothing but darkness, confusion and frustration. Let me just take it a page forward and tell you how Allah gives the analogy of darkness, and then speak about the analogy of brightness and progress. And the aim, as our Honorable Imam Al-Qari mentioned, is here to rejuvenate within us that spirit. Because sometimes the poet said, فَتُنْكِرُ الْعِلْمُ ذَوْلَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ رَمَدِي وَيُنْكِرُ الْفَقُ طَعْمَ الْمَاءِ مِنْ سَقَمِي. Sometimes when the vision is impaired, then it will even deny the brightness of the sun. And sometimes when the mouth is not well, then it will even deny tasty food. Not because the food is not tasty, but because your taste buds are all dead. Not because the sun is not bright, but because your vision is impaired. Allah referred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Understand this. So the chapter is on prophets. This verse featured in the chapter of prophets. It's a chapter of 17 Jude. So the discussion, the title, the label of the chapter is Suratul Anbiya. I would think, you would think, that since the topic is on prophets, the first prophet to be introduced, and probably in the most detailed context, would be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that's not the reality. In the chapter of the prophets, Allah brings the discussion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right at the tail end. And Allah gives the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in probably the shortest description. Allah speaks of Nuh alayhi salam, Allah speaks of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ وَدَاوُدَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ إِذْ يَحْكُمَانِ وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. Allah speaks of all the prophets. In the tail end of this chapter, Allah refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as, "We have not sent you but as a source of blessing and mercy for all the worlds, universes, and their inhabitants and occupants." In Tafsir al-Usmani, under this ayah, it is written, if someone can't use to say, the Prophet of Allah came, but he did not benefit me, how do we reconcile this against the declaration of Allah and the objection of this person? So Allah says that he is a mercy to everyone. Someone says, no, but I haven't benefited from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's mentioned in the Tafsir al-Rahmani, you say to such a person, just like if he goes in the basement and he blocks the avenues of the sun reaching him, he bathes himself, bathes himself, and then he says, who said the sun is bright? Who said the solar panels? Who said you can heat water up? Hang on, bro, come out of the basement. Come feel the air. Come smell the fresh air. Come see the sun. Come see how bright it is. Astronomers tell us that in the ball of a sun, right, in a straight line, not in the entire ball, just in a straight line, 109 Earths can fit in the sun. This is not what I'm saying, this is what astronomers say. And in the ball of the sun, thousands of planets of Earth can fit into the sun. But if you go deep down in the basement and you lock it and you veil it, then you're going to be like, hey bro, the sun hasn't benefited me in any way. And that's the reality of the matter. When the heart and the veil is blocked off, and may Allah protect us. Because in the Quran there are numerous expressions where Allah says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا أَكِنَّةٌ. That our veil, hearts are blocked, our eyes are veiled, our hearts are sealed. There's been divine blockages. When those blockages come, one person was eating in the presence of the Prophet with his left hand. The Prophet said, eat with your right hand, it could be a meaning. He said, I can't do that. I cannot do that. And the hadith goes on to say, مَا مَنَعَهُ إِلَّا الْكِبْرُ. He could do it, but it was his arrogance that prevented him. So the Prophet said, bhai, hita rakhi kawan, eat with your right hand. He said, no, I cannot eat with my right hand. So the Prophet said, now you won't be able to ever eat with your right hand. And after that, his right hand became paralyzed to the end of his life. May Allah protect us. Arrogance just blocks you off. So Allah speaks about darkness. Iman is light, my brother. Iman is light. I promise you, my young man, I promise you, my brother, I promise you, my sister, there is more ecstasy in difficulty in the obedience of Allah than there can be ecstasy in superficial in pleasure while disobeying Allah. When you obey Allah and you obey, there's more happiness in that. You're fasting, it's hard, it's a long day, but you're obeying Allah. Internally, your body is in more peace, comfort, and tranquility than you perpetrating a crime and dining and whining and drinking and alcohol, which would be more depression and misery. Because that's the system of Allah. Allah has attached the inner happiness to His obedience, and He has attached misery and destruction to His disobedience. This is irrefutable. This is the absolute truth. There's just no getaway from it. This is no getaway from it. So Allah says, look at the richness of the Quran, right? The Quran is so profound. Like in another verse of the Quran, Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. Qiyam is a reality, the Quran is a reality. And Allah says, it's a reality like how you speak is a reality. So the scholars of Tafsir tell us that Allah has used a very amazing expression. Allah said, it's a reality like how you speak, not like how you see or how you hear. It's a verse of the 26th Juz, in Surah Zariyat, and the concluding page, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ. By the oath of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, it's an absolute reality like how you pronounce, how you utter. Now, understand the richness of this description. One is to say it's a reality like you see. Your vision can always confuse you. Did I see you? No. What am I seeing? I'm not sure. It's an optical illusion. I don't know. I'm a bit blurred. Wait. Did I hear something? Did I hear a child cry? No. Wait. I can doubt my vision. I can doubt my hearing. But you ever heard of a person, wait, am I speaking? No, I'm not speaking. No, I'm a bit too bad over here. If a person ever doubts, am I speaking or not? You never heard of this, you never heard of it. People can doubt. These are different descriptions of the Quran. Right? When Allah speaks about the sleepers who slept in the cave, and Allah gave them a sleep of 3 centuries, Allah said, we cast slumber and sleep over their ears. Allah didn't say any other organ. Allah said ears. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ. We cast sleep over the ears to denote the intensity of their sleep, right? The ears are one of the last organs to sleep and one of the first organs to get up. In that context, Allah spoke of the ears. You fell into sleep, but your ears are still working to a faint level, to a particular sound. You kind of heard there was an altercation, there was a scuffle that broke out, there was a little feud. I heard someone talking in the background, so I'm going into sleepy mode, but my ears are functioning at some percent. When I got up, my eyes are not up, I'm still groggy, I don't have my balance, but my ears have started responding. To denote their sleep, Allah said we put sleep over their ears. Ya Allah said it's a reality like how you speak. Now, may Allah give us katana chaska lagne ki deer. Chaska, the delay is till you acquire the taste. People who've acquired the taste of bitter coffee. You will acquire the taste. That's the word. Acquire the taste. The youngsters who are smoking and they blow in the clouds. Right? Like polluting the man, back off group. And he's like, no, you don't acquire the taste. If we have acquired the taste of the right things, then Sayyidina Uthman could spend two units of prayer read the whole Quran. That the heart was acquired, it was acquired. So he could read it, was connected, and the day could pass. And today you could be riveted to the screen and watching unsavory material, and the night can go, and the night is young. And people could cut through a long haul flight for 14 hours, riveted to the screen, glued to it, riveted to it, mesmerized to it, because that's the fantasy. It's just what tickles your fantasy. It can consume you for hours and you don't realize how time passes by. So Allah says, and that's just a preamble to what I actually want to discuss, when Allah speaks of darkness, we said darkness and light. Obedience is light. Worship is light. Servitude is light. And disobedience is darkness. Look at the parable of the Quran. أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّيٍ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها ومن لم يجعل الله له نور فما له من نور. Allah says the example, the parable, the similitude of a sinner in his life of deviation, vice, disbelief, transgression. I give you a verbatim translation. Similar, ظلماتٍ, layers of darkness. في بحرٍ لجيٍ, in a deep ocean. I was invited to a retreat in Canada, where many youngsters had come, young boys and girls, in a very nature reserved place, you know, just enjoying nature. We had hikes, there were waterfalls, there was cascades, and then daily we had dubs and interaction where the youth would engage. I conducted lessons, I did some dubs. It was amazing because the Quran, I was sharing with them verses of the Quran as we were on this walking, hikes and trails. And it's beautiful, it's an amazing thing. So, in the ocean, Allah gives us verses. You look at the sky, Allah gives you verses. This amount there is so much. Allah says, it is like a person who is in a deep ocean. He's in a deep ocean. Above him is a wave, and above that wave is another wave, and above that wave there are clouds that are hovering over him. This is the description of Allah Almighty. Allah contrasts this with the ayah that was recited. Right? So, I said, the Quran is the only thing that's so beautiful and beautiful when I'm saying, tell me any other language. Anybody else speaks a foreign language, you're like irritated, right? Speak something I know or don't speak. But the Quran is so beautiful that even when you don't understand, it just gives us this amazing beauty. Can you imagine sometimes you're swimming and then you just come up and a wave hits you, and then just when you get your balance, another wave smacks you in your face? Allah says, this person who doesn't have faith, who doesn't have Allah, who doesn't have worship in his life, his soul is so restless. If you want a physical analogy, it's like a man in the deep ocean, there's a wave above him, and above him is another wave, and above him are gloomy clouds. Now, Allah says, it's so dark in his life. It's so dark in his life. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. Allah Akbar. If he were to expose his hand, that's a verbatim translation. I'm not paraphrasing. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ expose يَدَهُ his hand. Again, the scholars say, Allah said hand, and Allah didn't say any other organ, because hand is an organ you can draw very close to your eye. You can bring your hand right up close to your eye. You cannot necessarily do that with your foot. That's challenging, that's difficult. He's in such darkness that if he was to expose his hand, Allah didn't say he cannot see it. Allah said, let me get hand in your arm. كان يكاد من أرضك وقد يفضل رسبه شروف المقاربة. It's so dark in there, he won't even come close to probably see the slightest trace of his own hand. That's the darkness in his life. Then how does Allah conclude the verse? If I don't give you divine light, nobody can give you light. If I don't give it to you, nobody can give it to you. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورٍ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. If Allah doesn't give it to you, there's just no light. What was the dua of the Prophet ﷺ when he came to Fajr? اللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي سمعي نورا وفي بصري نورا وفي نحري نورا وفي دمي نورا وفي عظمي نورا. Allah give me that divine bright light in my eyes, in my ears, in my nose, in my hands, in my flesh, in my body, in my veins, in my DNA, in my anatomy, above me, beneath me, around me. Oh Allah, wrap me and engulf me in this nur. What is the definition of nur? The ulama say, nur is al-zahiru li nafsihi wal-mudhiru li ghayrihi. Light is something which is brilliant by itself, it's bright, and wherever it goes, it brightens the place. So Allah refers to the believer as one who carries a light. It's the verse of the Quran. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. The one who's dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. We revived him. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. We gave him a light. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Darkness surrenders to light. Light does not surrender to darkness. When a light comes, darkness disappears. Even a flickering light, which is not easy to give up, that is lost, that's light, that's the nature of light. So Allah said, a believer has a light, and in this verse Allah says, يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. He walks with it wherever he goes. This ayah tells us that a believer needs to embody and exhibit and display his faith wherever he is. Literally, يَمْشِي يَنْهُرْ لَيْنَيْ. He takes it and he goes. So wherever a believer walks, if a person is wearing exclusive dressing and he's wearing high profile, fragrance, people's going to get the fragrance, they can smell it. A believer ought to give off light wherever he travels. I share this one example often in my humble thoughts, and I say this in gratitude to Allah, and not to trumpet myself or quantify myself in any way, but this is a personal experience that I had. I was traveling in India on a train from one place to another, and so whenever I travel, I speak to my mom and I call her and I just update her, because obviously your parents to us are the greatest thing you can have in life. This is no getaway. I came across the call of Maktoum. Maktoum is a star in me. He said, Birrul walidayni kaffaratun lil-kabair. Kindness to your parents will expiate and atone for your major sins. Nowhere else will you find this in the Sharia. Generally, you do a good, Allah will forgive your minor sins. But Maktoum, who was a great Tabi'een, he says, kindness to parents, Allah will forgive your major sins. You know, the statement here, it knows that no Arabic will appreciate it, but I don't get too philosophical. The Arabic poet said, كلما أردت أن أكتب عن أمي وجدت نفسي أمي. كلما أردت أن أكتب عن أمي وجدت نفسي أمي. طبعا جاوبت أنا تكلمت إيجا. I don't know. It's like too amazing. Sorry. In essence, in Arabic has two meanings. Is mother. And that's why a person who's illiterate or unlettered or uneducated is also known as ummi, meaning he is like how he was when he was born. right? So this is one of the honorable titles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he referred to as Ummi, right? هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. We refer to as Ummi because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. النبي الأمي. But the ulama say, for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the title Ummi is an honor. Why? Ummi in the sense that he was not educated by anyone. Because if anybody educated him, then his tutor has an edge over him. So Allah did not allow anyone to teach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so nobody can gain superiority over him. But Wahab bin Munabbih rahimahullah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْتِ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَنِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْضِبَائِهَا مِنْ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَمْعِ عَقْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا كَحَبَّةِ الْعُمْرِ مِنْ بَيْنِ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. That from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, the combined intellect of the entire world is like one dust particle. And the exclusive intellect of the Prophet are like the deserts of the world. So the Arabic poet says, now Umm means mother and Ummi means unlettered, uneducated. He said, as qualified as I am, every time I wanted to write about the greatness of my mother, I just realize I'm uneducated. My pen just drops. What can I say? She's so great, she's so amazing. I just don't have words. I just don't have words. And I often say in my talks, my brother, Allah gave you wealth and Allah gave you more wealth. But if you with your wealth tell your father that the weather like Dora Chukka Kandu please, I die in the now. If you limit your dad to clean himself before sitting in your car, then woe be to you and woe be to your wealth. If you govern and restrict and impose on your father, this is protocol. Dora karina andar aao, ya andar na aata hai. Then woe be to you and woe be to your wealth. Sayyidina Umar seen a man carrying his mom around the Kaaba, and then he's carrying her. Hamaltuha wa hiya hamalatni. I carried her today while I'm healthy. She carried me while she was sick. Umar radiallahu anhu called him and said, I wish my mom was alive, I would have done no different to you. I wish my mom was alive, I would have done no different to you. How can I forget that moment when I witnessed with my own eyes, when we were in Rohingya, and I seen this old woman, probably about 80 years of age, and she was crossing over a river to go deep inside at her camp. And her two sons were standing. It was Maghrib, it was the first of Muharram. I was standing there, the sun was setting. There were hundreds of thousands of people. It was a long day, we were tired, we were exhausted. And then these two sons stood. They took a plank and they put it across from one side to the other. And then they took a cloth and they created a little holder and a seat. And then they lifted their mom and put their mom on. And I'm standing, not just crying, I'm crying. Today's young man has a car as well. He's like, mom, how long are you going to be at the mall? How long are you going to the doctor? I'm busy, not now. And here I'm seeing these two kids. It's 40 degrees hot. There's 500,000 people. It's infested. It's extremely hot. We are there on the ground. And then they carried their mom. And then the bridge was man-made, so it was very flimsy. So I walked behind. On either side, the water was so deep that I seen a cow was completely submerged in. So from that, I estimated the depth. And either way, if they fall, Allah protect. And they carried their mom, and I'm walking behind. And Allah put the dua in my heart, the very dua the Prophet ﷺ will read when his ummah will cross the bridge of Qul Sirat on the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma salli, Allahumma salli. Allah, you say, Allah, Allahumma salli, Allahumma salli. And as they got across, I just went and hugged them. I said, my young brothers, you don't know my language, I don't know yours, but I know you've crossed that bridge of Jannah today. You've crossed your bridge, you've crossed your bridge. 80-year-old mom, I see it with my own eyes. So I share this incident as a reflection. Allah says, the one who has a light. If we have the light in your business, my brother, the person transacting with you will ask you. Islam is a catalyst. It will attract. It has a magnet. That's its nature. That's its beauty. If people are not being attracted, then you know what? I've tarnished it. I've compromised it. I've blurred it. I've obscured it. But otherwise, it's got its own life. You don't have to market it. It's just got it. You don't have to market fragrance. Something that don't smell, then you're going to market it. Because at the moment, bole, to pati pika marcha bhi becha, nahi bole to pika marcha bhi nahi becha. Islam has its own beauty. It will just attract. It will just attract. That's it. So anyway, I was sitting in the train and I was coming and I called my mom. That's all. I speak to my mom and I say this as an encouragement to other youth as well. And I speak to her. I say, how are you my darling? Are you my angel? Are you my love? Are you my baby? Are you my John? Alhamdulillah, I say that until today. I say, any word you say falls short. The Messiah was sitting, then he got up. Marhaban bi ummi, marhaban bi ummi. فَبَصَفَ لَهَا رِدَاءَ. He spread, oh, come, my mother, my mother, my mother. So, his mother passed away. Then the Messiah spread it. She sat down, he entertained her, he fed her, seemed to her, then she left. So, Sahaba said, but only Allah, your mom has passed away. He said, she is Halima Sa'diyah, she gave me milk. إِنَّا أُمِّي أَلَّتِي أَرْضَعَتْنِي. So, first 4 days, Amina radiallahu anha gave Nabi alayhi salam milk. For some narrations say 8 days. Then Tuwayba Aslamiyya, who was the slave girl of Abu Lahab, who was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose actual name was Abdul Uzza, she nursed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a few days. And after Thuwayba Aslamiyya, and the narration suggests she also accepted Islam, then this privilege was transmitted and transferred to Halima Sa'diyya radiallahu anha from the Sa'd tribe, where she officially gave birth to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the wet nurses in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It forms basic Islamic knowledge about our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, in Khasa'isul Kubra, Allama Suyuti has made mention of the narration. It's on page 100 in Khasa'isul Kubra that Halima Sa'diyya radiallahu anha said that when I used to latch the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on to drink, right? He would drink from my right side of my chest. And when I would latch him on the left side to drink, he would refuse as a baby. Khasa'isul Kubra, you can read the narration there. As a baby, Halima Sa'diyya said, I would latch the Prophet on my right, he would drink from left, him on the left, he would not. قَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَا وَذَلِكَ مِنْ عَدْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأَنَّهُ عَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ شَرِيكًا فِي الرَّضَاعَةِ. The ulama had written the reason why the Prophet did not drink from the left side of the chest of Halima radiallahu anha was paying respect to the fact that he had a foster brother and that was his share, giving a message to the world, respect the rights of others. I gave you the reference, you can read it yourself. In academic language, we refer to this as irahasa. So you have mu'jiza, you have karam, and you have irahasa. Irahasa are the supernatural actions of a prophet, pre-prophet word. Post-level, it's academic knowledge. Coming back to what I was saying. Allah says we have a light. Islam is a light. That light is darkness. There's darkness in it. I promise you, in the limitations of Islam, there's freedom. In the apparent freedom, elsewhere, there is destruction. In the limitations of Islam, don't talk here, behave like this, eat like this, drink like this, walk like this, love like this, sleep like this. There is meaning to life. There is wholesome life. I often say, today the whole world, what are we going to be happy all the time? So people are popping pills. Right? How many youngsters pop pills? I deal with many youth that unfortunately have succumbed to substance abuse. And often you pop a pill, it gives you an ecstasy, it gives you a kick, it gives you a thrill, it gives you an adrenaline. and for the rest of your life you're poking the pearl, yearning and pining for that first adrenaline, but you never get it back. That's the reality, right? You're chasing a moving target, so you're never going to get it. But here's a simple example of happiness every day. In Ramadan, every day at iftar, everyone is happy. Just think of this. In Ramadan, iftar, but can you push target? Iftar no better. And before iftar, there's even more happiness. And kitchen manager, first boy are you? First boy are you? I can't allow you from Musa, Fatma Karana, Bajia. Every day in Ramadan, whole life you change in happiness, and every day in Ramadan and iftar, everyone is happy. What was the answer? Basic deprivation, and suddenly that same meal brings so much happiness. That's the answer to your soul's restlessness. Behave, discipline, and you will be happy. Keep on throwing and indulging. You are incubating a monster. You're creating a monster. That child will evolve to be a monster. There's no limit to this ego. Talut, he was the king, he was traveling. Allah appointed him on Bani Israel. He said, he's the king, he will take you to victory against Jalut. And there was the Nabi of the time, was Shamwin alayhi salam. So they're traveling. And they are going to challenge this tyrant ruler who had oppressed them, subjected them, exploited them, abused them. So he said, listen, we're just going to cross over some water here. Just a quick test. Allah wants to examine your levels of discipline and confidence. So you know what, when you're getting over here, I know you folks are thirsty, but Allah said, don't drink from it. But if you take a handful, that's fine. But anything beyond, no. Deprivation, and suddenly it's not like you're eating anything different, it's the same food. But suddenly there's an excitement, there's a joy. That's the answer, that's the discipline. And Islam, the beauty of Islam is, it doesn't deny you any need, it regulates it. It's not going to tell you, don't get married. There's no celibacy in Islam, right? They say, marriage might have thorns in it, but celibacy has no roses. Hello? Marriage might have thorns in it. You know about this guy who was suffering depression. So he went to the pharmacy and said, I'm looking for an antidepressant. So the doctor is like, give me a prescription. He says, here's my marriage certificate. No, you're kidding me. I need a prescription. A marriage certificate doesn't work. I mean, I need a certificate to say you're depressed. I mean, marriage certificate. I just said marriage, gender neutral. So, every partner, every spouse, not husband, wife, every partner. You know what I mean? Impartiality in a world of sensitivity. Every partner, by default, is a farmer because his or her survival depends on agriculture. I agree. And agriculture increases GDP, gross domestic peace. Discipline, my brother, and Islam. That's the beauty of Islam. Islam thinks they don't go to toilet. Islam thinks that in i'tikaf, there's so much discipline on the mu'takib. But you think don't eat doesn't eat? Because it's a necessity. Islam told you how to eat. Islam told you when to eat. Islam told you what to eat. Islam thinks they don't sleep. Islam told you how much to sleep. Does body needs a leash around, a noose around it? If you don't put it around, then I'm afraid this human will cause havoc. He'll cause havoc. Discipline is the answer to a wholesome life. Whether you own a dime or you own a million, if you want happiness, you must be up for fajr. Both must be up at the same time. And you eat so much. One person asks, what's the cure after which there's no illness? Not what's the illness after which there's no cure? What's the cure after which there's no illness? He said, أَلَّا تَأْكُلْ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْجُوعِ وَأَنْتَ تَقُومُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَأَنْتَ تَشْتَهِي الطَّعَامِ. That you only eat when you're hungry and you get up when you're still hungry. There'll be no illness in your life. You only eat when you're hungry and you get up when you're still hungry. So anyway, they're crossing over. Now they're thirsty. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَوْبَتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَا اللَّهُ تَسْوَ تَرَوَ فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever drinks from it is not from me. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتْعَمُهُ. Verbatim translation. And the one who doesn't taste it, فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي is from me. إِلَّا مَنْ اِتْتَرَفَ. But the one who just takes a handful and sits still, that's fine. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ. The majority of them said, nah, yeah, I have to go with you, we have no if it doesn't like it, if I need help, I'll tell you, you need one, I'll tell you, I tell you one. Fashalibu, they drank from it. Illa qaleela minhum, but a handful. But you know what's the best part? Read in the tafsir, it's written. Those who drank little, their thirst was quenched. Those who drank in large volume, their thirst was aggravated. Allah wants discipline. Allah wants discipline. What they say? Al-dunya kulluha shahru siyamin lil-muttaqeen. Wa'idu fitrihim yawma liqa'i rabbil alameen. Wa mu'tawu nahar siyam qadda'a. وَعِيدُ اللِّقَى قَدِمْهَرَى الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا شَهْرُ صِيَامٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This whole world for a believer from the day he became Baligh is a day of roza and fasting. And the day of his real grand iftar is when he meets his Allah. And tell him not to despair, the greater part of the day is over, iftar is closed. Iftar is closed. When the rebels surrounded the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu and they intended assassinating him, and he asked them for water and they denied him water, his wife Na'ilah radiallahu anha, she resisted the assassins, and in the process her fingers were severed. Her fingers were severed. And then he said to them, but I bought this well and made it available for the Ummah. Today you deny me water from my own water which I made available. That night, the narration suggests, the Prophet ﷺ appeared in a dream to him. And he said, Uthman, if you want to go, because Hasan radiallahu anhu had come to him and Abu Qatada, and they said, Oh, Uthman, tell us. And we will challenge these people. He gave such an amazing answer. He said, إِنِّي لَا أَتَوَقَّى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِنِّي أُوقِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِنَفْسِي. I will never protect my shield myself by risking the ummah, but I would risk myself to protect others. إِنِّي لَا أَتَوَقَّى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Can you come in front and block me and my answer when your life goes? No. In the open, I will risk my life to save the Ummah. And that was the vision. That was when Hasan radiallahu anhu stepped down from the Khilafah and he gave it to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So someone told him, you are not Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are Aar al-Mu'mineen. Amir means leader, Aar means insult. You know the leader you have insulted. He said, Al-Aar khayrun min al-Naar. Al-Aar. Rather you call me an insult than the fire of hell. And then he said, I happily give the khilafah to Sayyidina Muawiyah. In the eyes of Allah, he is the rightful candidate. I did no favor. He took what belonged to him. And if in the eyes of Allah I was more deserving, then I have relinquished my right to rescue bloodshed from the Ummah. Those were the days. When the Prophet ﷺ said in Hajjatul Wada, I have forgiven everyone and I want everyone to forgive. He said, I start off by those who had killed people from my family. I first forgave them. Now I'm asking you to forgive others. That's the difference of the system of Nabuwwah. If the Prophet of Allah first forgive, then he tells others to forgive. In our system is you start. That's why it doesn't work. So I was saying, my brother, the whole system is that discipline. I read an article, if my tongue is running straight anyway, that the life of a believer on this earth is a life, it's a fasting life. Your whole life. It's a day of fasting. This is how it is. And I promise you, the more there's discipline, study the greats of the world. Study the greats of the world who prospered in any field, religious or otherwise. Everyone was governed by a strict schedule and a timetable. Nobody became great in this world without self-discipline. Nobody. And we want to reach Allah without discipline in our life. Sleep anytime, indulge anytime, eat anytime, just chit-chat with anyone. Just, it's a free world, it's an open world. I read an article of an Oxford professor where he spoke about midday sleep, siesta. We all know that midday sleep is part of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you sleep at midday, it leads you to energy. But the article, the finding of this article was very profound. In that his research was, obviously they had done a survey on X amount of people, and that's where they had the stats, that if you take a nap, he coined the phrase, nap versus nappiness. Not happiness, nappiness. Not as in nappy as in diaper, happiness. Nap as in nappiness, happiness. So he said that if a person sleeps for half an hour, then it boosts him, rejuvenates him, he's fresh, he's productive for the rest of the day. And we all know this year, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sleep. And Jalalain says, al-istilaha nisfun nahar wa illam yakun ma'ana nawm. Right? So, Qayyuda just means to retire. Even if you didn't sleep, just to drop and relax. Even that in reflexology and in psychology, just to relax the body. Then he goes on to say, people who don't sleep for half an hour are much more productive. People who sleep are much more productive compared to those who don't sleep. We all know that's a given. But the finding beyond was so amazing. People who sleep more than half an hour, this was his finding, are more sluggish compared to people who don't sleep at all. In other words, after 15 minutes, it becomes counterproductive. It works against you. So, you've got to nip it in the bud by that 30 minutes discipline. Imagine the Sahaba on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. So, they were denied access into Makkah. The disbelievers didn't allow them. And you know how passionate they were. Imagine you land at an airport and then you say, no, you cannot come in, you're right there. And for them, this is Makkah. It's a holy place and it's their birthplace. So, it has a new dimension. And then there was a very intense back and forth negotiation. And then Allah tested them in a way where their self-discipline was of another level. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. I come from Africa, safari is synonymous to Africa, game drives are synonymous to Africa, hunting is common to Africa. So when you're hunting and you stalk in the game, you want to come up close, you need a good range, you need a good view, you need a vital organ, you don't need your view to be obscure, you need the lens to be clear. And then obviously, whatever game you're looking for, make the right time, season, etc., then that's the hunt you're going to go for. Now, in the state of Ihram, hunting is forbidden. Hunting is forbidden. And Allah says, I'm going to test you. You won't have to stalk the game or pursue the game. I will bring the game so close to you that you can touch it and grab it with your hand, but it's haram because you are in Ihram. यदि आपकी रात घूम में आप फजर होकर ओ के भी घूम लाइक दैट यू स्टोक इन द गेम एंड यर अल्लाह से आई विल ब्रिंग इट टू यू यू कैन जस्ट एप्रिहेंड इट विद योर हैंड तना रू यू कैन ग्रैब इट बेहदी को विद योर हैंड रिमा हुकुम योर स्पियर बट इट इज फॉरबिडन बिकॉज यू आर इन इहराम एंड आई विल डू दिस टू सी हाउ मच डिसिप्लिन यू हैव There is a fake pleasure in roaming your gaze. There's no doubt about it. Because if there wasn't, why would people do it? But by Allah, there is a spiritual pleasure in restricting your gaze. There is a pleasure in sleeping the night through Fajr. There's no doubt. That's why the Prophet said, You step through Fajr, the devil has illuminated in your ears. But there is a pleasure to disturb your sleep and get up at 12 o'clock. And the hadith of Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on that man who gets up at night. Qama min al-layl, tawadda, perform wudu, tawassat, uses his work. Then comes to his wife, or vice versa. The hadith of Abu Dawud mentions it both ways. Wife gets up, she comes to the husband, nudges him, she nudges, what's it? It's early, it's 1 a.m., what did you do? Come, my beloved, let's check with Allah. The Prophet of Allah has made the dua for that couple. There is a pleasure, I hold you, you hold me, I sleep with you. Good luck, happy. It's February, it's a month of whatever. But there is a pleasure in getting up and disturbing. There is a pleasure in hoarding your wealth. But by Allah, there's a pleasure in spending your wealth. I have seen people whom Allah has made them taste that pleasure. There's a friend of mine whom Allah has blessed with a lot of wealth, and he's a very generous man. And he's an amazing person. Allah has blessed him, so he always gives beyond what he commits. Whatever he says, he'll support the masjid, support the project. So one day I asked him, I said, Haji Sahab, why do you do this? You say $5,000 and you give $10,000. He said, whenever I surprise people, Allah surprises me. Whenever I surprise people, Allah surprises me. So I just love my Allah surprises. And my Allah surprises in volumes. My Allah surprises. So there is a great pleasure. There is a great pleasure to just gather in your money, as the Quran said. يَكْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَكَ يَكْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَكَ Anyway, the point I'm saying, I didn't even translate this ayah. Oops. Let me translate this ayah and then try and draw it for a conclusion. The ayah that was recited was the ayah of Noon, and we spoke of darkness, confusion, destruction, where there's no discipline in your life. Allah speaks about different objects and isms who were worshipped throughout the time. But then Allah says, there were certain people who only worshipped their ego for life. Just as nafs, whatever it is. No. Get up, learn, discipline, break the habit. This is it. In that that is where humans are being molded to normality, to nobility, to beauty. So Allah said, Allah nuru samawati wal ard. Ay Allah nuru samawati. Allah is the one who gives life to the heavens and earth. Matal Nurihi, the example of the light, again the example of darkness, that is the light. La contrast was here in the same ayah, right? And you know what the backdrop is? So in the verses preceding this, Allah says, drop your gaze, restrain your gaze. And the scholars say the correlation is, the more you restrain your gaze, the more Allah will give you these lights. The more you drop this gaze, the more Allah will give you that light. The more Allah gives you that life, my brother, then that is living paradise on earth. That is living paradise on earth. The friends of Allah, how pure their life, how content their life was, how happy their life, how wholesome, how meaningful their life was. So Allah says, Madaluni, the example of the light of Allah, light, Mishkan. Mishkan means a niche, a hole. Like a niche. Back before the invention of electricity, you kind of had a niche and a hole and an opening in the wall. Fiha misbah is a lantern. Al misbahu fi zujaja. The lantern is in a glass. Al zujaja tu ka'annaha kawkab. The glass is so bright that Allah says it's like a brilliant star. Al zujaja tu ka'annaha kawkab. Durriyun, a brilliant star. Yuqad, it is ignited and lit. Min shajaratin mubarakatin zaytuna, with the oil that came from olive tree. But not your regular common average olive tree. It came from an olive tree which was exposed to perpetual sunlight. So a tree that is exposed to adequate sunlight and rain will enhance the produce of that particular plantation. La sharqiyatin wa la gharbiyya, not the eastern rays, not the western rays. The light, the oil of this olive is so bright, yakadu zaytuha yudhi, it appears that it will glow and shine even if you don't pour it into the lantern. It looks bright by itself, and then you pour it in the lantern, it gets even bright. So it's a light, and then it's in a glass, and the glass is so bright like a star, and then it's olive oil, and olive oil is better than other olive oil, and this olive oil came from a tree that's better than other tree. Nurun ala nur. Allah says this is light upon light upon light. And what's the analogy in its nutshell? It's the passion of the heart of a believer seeking guidance. This passion to get guidance is almost glowing before it is paired up with divine guidance. So just that passion, I want guidance, I want to obey, I want to know. And then when you marry and pair and tie and connect this passion with divine life, that pair and that union translates in Nurun ala Nur, light upon light. Suddenly this boy who was arrogant, who was proud, who was haughty, now that light has entered his heart, now he's humble, he's submissive, now he's respecting his father, he's obeying his mother. Because what's the key difference? In Islam, you're a child, then we love you, we hug you, we embrace you. Or then you're an adult and you assume responsibility. But the world has a problem today where we have a generation, they're too big to be children and they're too small to be adults, so they don't know where they belong. By God, I will tell you now that I'm not a kid, man. By God, man. I'm going to do our own work. How long will tell you about it? No, I'm not a kid. I'm a kid, don't talk to me like that. Yeah, I'm grown up. Okay? So then you assume responsibility. No. The ulama say the nafs is like an ostrich. You tell the ostrich is the fastest two-legged animal. Two-legged, not four-legged. I'm using it, but I'm using it, and I don't know, I said two-legged. Yeah. Two-legged, it runs at the speed of 80 kilometers. We're from Africa. The human ego is like sugar mode. It's like the ostrich. You tell it to fly, I'm not a bird. We animals, and we take weight on our back, but you tell it doesn't fly. Okay, can I go? I'm a bird, but how can you sit on my back? That's the human nafs. That's the human nafs. It will play tricks with you. It will play tricks with you. Discipline is the answer, my brother. The more discipline you. Sayyidina Ahmad ibn Abbas said, when we returned from Iraq, then I brought some delicacies and I gave it to Umar radiallahu anhu. I said, yeah, this. He tasted this. He said, no, my brother, this year. He said, this is too sweet and this is too tasty. لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَىٰ. This fool, I can see in the years to come, a brother will kill his sibling for for food like this, and a son will kill his father for food like this. Don't tarnish me with food like this. The answer to a happy life is a life of discipline. Allah ordains salah with time. Allah didn't say that in the morning and pray 5 times and it's done. Allah regulated our injunctions not with the Gregorian calendar, but with the lunar calendar. Allah fixed it with the moon and not the sun. It both is in the control of Allah. وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. The sun is Allah's, the moon is Allah's. The sun is fixed. Christmas is on one day throughout the year, that's it, it's fixed. If it was fixed with the system of the sun, Ramadan will get one time, Hajj will get one time. But Allah has fixed it with the moon, it rotates, it alternates, it changes. In there is the moaning of man, there's the long fast, there's the short fast, there's the early fajr, there's the late fajr, there's the hot fast, there's the cool fast, there's the hot Hajj, there's the... In that is the discipline of man. That is the system of Allah. That is the system. And in that lies our goodness. I leave you with the last reflection in this regard and I conclude. One of the profound teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in discipline was لا سمرة بعد العشاء. He said, after Isha, let there be no chat and gossiping. Retire early and rise early. A productive human retires early and rises early. A destructive human retires late and rises late. Chapter closed. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today the world, brother, bro, relax. The night is young. It's happening. It's only starting. Everything kind of barbari in afternoon. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. It has paralyzed our youth. It has destroyed our society. It has incapacitated them. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. The Prophet has prayed for the morning of this ummah. Start early, rise early, create an environment of sleeping early. This is the teaching of our deen. This is the discipline of our deen. There's a time for everything and surely there is. But rise early and sleep early. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that divine light. May Allah save us from darkness. May Allah save us from deviation. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa rzuqna ittiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batila wa rzuqna ijtinaba. Allah, let the correct things appear to be correct to us. Let the truth appear to be the truth. And then give us the ability to oblige, to follow. And let evil and falsehood look deplorable, despicable, detestable to us. And then give us the ability to abstain. What somebody said in the English language, we all want to change the planet, but nobody wants to help mom wash the dishes. We all want to change the planet. What do we want to do? We want to change the planet. But nobody wants to help mom wash the dishes. The devil has no problem with your good intention as long as it's for tomorrow. But the day you say you change it now, that's the time. So the message is a life of discipline. Remember my example of Ramadan? Discipline. Fast. The Prophet taught us fasting every month, a yam and bin, Monday and Thursday. Intermittent fast today, the whole world talks about it. So there's this whole awakening of discipline and health and consciousness and starving the body and not going, wah, it's all in the teachings of the Prophet. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر.
O my kind, loving, caring Allah, you bless us with a life of correct discipline, O Allah. Allah, your Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam said, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That if you do not divert, deploy the seductive people, I will incline towards it. Allah, you will rescue us from all the evil ploys of Allah. Allah, you grant us the correct understanding and measure of moderation. Allah, grant us the correct balance between our permissible indulgence in this world and our religious obligation to you, Allah. Grant us the correct balance and moderation in our duty to our parents and our spouse. Grant us the correct obligation in striking the balance between our children and our siblings of Allah. Allah, grant us the fine balance in everything of Allah. Allah, save us from a life of indulgence. Allah, we tired of a life of indulgence. It has taken us nowhere but misery and unpleasantness and internal depression, Allah. We sleep when the people get up. We are up when people are sleeping, O Allah. Allah, save us from all these substances on which we become dependent to alter our mood and create superficial excitement in our body. Grant us that inner happiness, Allah. Grant us that happiness when we drop our head in prostration and we just cannot lift our head because we enjoy that sajda so deeply, Allah. Where our head is just on the ground and it's riveted to you. Oh Allah, save us from that which Allama Iqbal said, Tera sajda kahi kafir na karde tujhko ae musalman, tu jhukta kahi aur hai, sochta kahi aur hai. Tera sajda kahi kafir na karde tujhko ae Iqbal, tu jhukta kahi aur hai, sochta kahi aur hai. Let it not be that our prostration is a cause of deviation, that we externally, outwardly, apparently are bowing to you, but our thoughts are roaming elsewhere, Allah. Allah, we've enjoyed the fake pleasure of roaming our gaze. Give us the pure pleasure of restraining our gaze, Allah. We've enjoyed the fake pleasure of hoarding our wealth and dying even and buying behind. Give us the true pleasure of spending our wealth of Allah. We've enjoyed the fake pleasure of perusing through unsavory sights, Allah. Give us the pure pleasure of reciting Quran, O Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu 'abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharrin ma sta'adaka minhu 'abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anta al-musta'an wa 'alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyi al-'azim subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin wa alhamdulillah.